If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 104, beginning at verse 1, and let's continue in the reading of God's Word from the Psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind, and he makes his messengers winds and his ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundations so that it could never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night. When all the beasts of the forest creep about and the young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both great and small. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. These all look to you, to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing to praise my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you that we have the opportunity to hear your word and that I have the opportunity to share it with this congregation. Lord, speak to our hearts. May we hear your word. May we be called to it and called through it to a greater love for you, a greater rejoicing in who you are, and a greater understanding of the grace you give through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might have life and have it everlasting through faith in his name. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm thankful again for the opportunity to share God's word with you this morning and to continue in this series, which has been a great series. And I thank Nate for entrusting me with the opportunity to continue in his series. That's always a scary thing whenever somebody's doing a series and they say, oh yeah, you just go take this part. You know? So I appreciate the opportunity. And I had the opportunity to preach to you once before, and we're kind of continuing in that direction. I know that this sermon's going to go well. I did preach it before. Not at any other church. Last night when I went to bed, I fell asleep and I dreamt that I preached it. And you all loved it. And then I woke up and realized that I have to actually wake up this morning and preach it. So hopefully it goes equally well. The last time I shared God's word with you, I told a little bit about what had been going on in my life, and I shared about moving rocks and working on a roof and all that went with that. Well, the week after that, I was working on that same roof. All the rocks were moved. I didn't have to move any more rocks other than a couple little times, but nothing like what I shared with you last time. But about halfway through the week, I also shared with you that I was getting older, my 49th birthday was coming up that week, and on the middle of that week, it was my 49th birthday, and I was sitting under a duct on the roof because that was the only place to get out of the sun, and having my 10 o'clock break, and sitting under that duct and thought, I'm 49 years old. I don't need this nonsense. So I sent a text on that break to one of the other companies that I work for doing interior work and drywall and things like that, and he sent me a text later in the day, and he said, yeah, give me a call this weekend. I'll have something for you next week. So I went from doing the roof stuff to now I'm back hanging drywall and doing the stuff that I'm comfortable with. So thanks be to God I'm off the roof, because really the only reward for doing roofing, if you do good at it, is you get to do more roofing. So thankfully we got out of that. You know, you can endure hard things. You can endure difficult things if there is a reward at the end. If there is something that you can see that it won't always be like this. That this is for a season. That things are going to be difficult now, but they will not always be this way. And that's the difference. As soon as I got back on those other kinds of jobs, I said, you know what? No matter what they ask me to do, it's only going to be for a day, a week, maybe a month or two. But it's not going to be the sum total of what I do. And so thankfully I have that opportunity now to do that kind of work. But something else I realized, this was last year when I went to work for an interior company, I realized something that I have to spend time outside of work now because of my age. I have to spend time outside of my work doing things to make sure that I can do my work. So the thing that I have to do particularly is I have to pay some kind of attention to what I eat. I have to make sure that I take vitamins in the morning, and I have to make sure that I run. And when I'm working, I have to make sure that I stay hydrated. And in fact, I'm kind of annoyed by this, because I'm annoyed by the fact that it's sort of like a reduction in pay, right? I get paid a rate for 8 hours of work, but now I'm spending time at home doing things that I don't want to do in order to maintain my job. So it's sort of like a reduction in pay. Now I'm putting 10, 12 hours a day or so in doing something to be able to earn that 8 hours of pay. So I'm kind of annoyed by that. But discipline brings order. And that's really the point. That's really the point. Because in this psalm, we hear about God's ordering of all things. God places all of these things in the world at His creation and puts it in order. He describes a world in which things work correctly. I said as I got older, last time I shared with you about the movie Napoleon Dynamite, and I said that as I got older and have kids, I find that things, I'm sometimes delighted to find out that things that I think might be stupid, I actually enjoy. And one of those things, in addition to the movie that I shared with you about last time, I found out that there's a game that my kids play that I really, when I first heard about it, I thought it was really dumb. And now I love it. And I know that kids here at Beverly Heights play it because they have a server on which they all play it together. The game is called Minecraft. In this game, if you're not familiar with it, in this game, you are a character that for some reason finds himself in a world in which you have two options of playing. You have one which I hate to play. My kids make fun of me for never messing with it. And it's called creative mode. And you can pretty much just do whatever you want. And you have all the resources. You can do everything. You're sort of like, you know, a puny god. You can do whatever you want. I don't like that one. I play survival, where you start out with nothing. And you have to find all the things and put the things together in order to create whatever it is that you're going to do in the world. And there's kind of a point to the game, but there really isn't. You know, you can go and you can play it in a way that you go and try to defeat a dragon, but really the dragon doesn't matter. You don't even have to mess with the dragon. You barely have to mess with the monsters. They're kind of just an annoying thing. But you can build amazing things. And in this survival thing that we play, you start with literally nothing. You start with your bare hands and you go beat on a tree and it falls apart and you get wood. And then you can make from the wood, you can make planks, and then you can make sticks, and you can use the sticks to make tools, and then you can get rocks, and you can build amazing things from all the things that exist in that world. And that was the first thing that came to my mind, because I'm weird, when I read this psalm, was Minecraft. So I apologize for being weird. But I thought about, this is the way the world was intended. This is the way the world was designed. And Psalm 104 is intended to give us a picture of, and so that we would glorify God, because there is an intentionality to the way God created the world, that things were meant to work. So what gets in the way? Sin gets in the way. What gets in the way? The misuse of the goods, the misuse of the food, the misuse of the of all the things in the world makes things difficult, makes things not work as they should. Now, I shared with you that I have to run. I have to run in order to do my job. The reason I have to run in order to do my job, and I'm not a great runner. I know maybe there's some of you out there that do marathons and are like runners. I'm not a runner. I'm a guy who has to run. I have to be able to do about 2 miles three times a week if I'm going to function as a human being, mainly because I also like cake. So I have to run in order to, I have goals. You know, some of you might have goals of a marathon or a triathlon, and that's awesome. I used to think about things like that. Now here are my goals. I don't want to buy new clothing. I want to be able to do my job without feeling like I'm going to die. And I want to be able to run 2 miles three times a week without being terribly uncomfortable doing so. Those are my goals. But I have to do these things. Why do I have to do things? Because the world is not perfect. The world is not such as it was. Such as it was intended at creation. We live in a fallen world. But it's helpful to have a psalm to sing and to read and to fill our hearts with joy in hearing this, that there is an order that God intended for the world. The psalmist begins, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great." That struck me a little bit because I thought it was funny. You know, of all the superlatives you could come up with, we get very great. Sounds like me trying to say something romantic to my wife. You're very great. But nevertheless, bless the Lord, O my soul. Praising God, you, my God, are very great. Then it gets a little better. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams for his chambers on the water. So now we have God beginning to create. This is an echo of Genesis 1 and a creation. And we can't get caught too hung up in the order, because the order is a little bit different, but the Psalms are songs and poetry. So it's not an exact parallel to Genesis 1, but nevertheless, you have this, a formless and void world that God is now placing in order. Covering with yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams for his chambers on the waters, makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds and his ministers a flaming fire. There's angelic beings. That word for messengers is related to those words for angels. That there are beings that God has created in order to fulfill his purposes in the world. Before there were even human beings on the earth, these created beings fulfill his purposes. And then he set the earth on its foundations. He put things in order. He began to put all the things there necessary for life, all the building blocks necessary for life. I'm not one of those preachers that can do a great talk for you on all of the scientific side of that, but just listen to somebody who's smart about those things. Listen to somebody tell you about how God orders all things and how this world is so uniquely suited to life that the odds of something like that happening just randomly are ridiculous. They're ridiculous odds of having a world in which the things work and you can get from the things in the world, you can get an amazing world in which we live. Even the fallen world we live in. You can look around and you can see amazing things, not just the amazing things that are nature, but it always struck me anytime I've been downtown and look at the old buildings. Look at the older buildings. Look at the ones where care was put into the stonework and the masonry and the way in which architecture was done and is done. And you think, you know, if a squirrel did that, I know I'm weird, right? If a squirrel did that, we would be like, that is so cool. But we drive past it every day when human beings have built these things, and we're like, oh, cool. We don't even think about it. But human beings were given the means to take sticks and rocks and build these amazing things that we live around. Why? Because God created a world with order. God created human beings with minds and with creativity and with the ability to do all these things. These are part of his order. And where things get sideways is when we use that creativity to do horrible things, to do destructive things, to do selfish things. But God even has order in that, right? I'm going to draw your attention to the New Testament that we heard read, right? Anybody who knows me knows that that's probably my least favorite verse in the Bible. I mean, I'm a guy who flies a yellow flag with a snake on it that says, don't tread on me, right? I'm a guy who in my worst moments will post memes that say taxation is theft. Can I believe that as a Christian? Probably not. Probably not real well. Because what does Romans 13 tell us? Romans 13 tells us that even in this sinful, fallen world, God has created authorities to bring order. And sometimes we need those authorities. Sometimes we even call out for those authorities. Peter Chase blew my mind a couple weeks ago with his sermon talking about justice. And how we cry out for justice, we seek justice, we look for God to bring order and bring justice because so much in the world is unjust. And when we have a problem with one another, where do we go? We go to authorities. Now, hopefully, we go to authorities in the order that Scripture gave us, right? When you have a problem with one another, no, Gabe, I'm not going to share that story. I had a thing happen at work this week, and I told the kids about it. I'm not going to tell you because it's too fresh, and who knows, the guy that I'm working with might be watching this on the screen. So I'm not. 10 years from now, I'll tell you all that story. But we have a scriptural mandate. When we have a problem, you go first where? To the person. Then you go to the next person, to a couple of in the church, and you take it to them, and then you go to the elders, and then you go to the authorities. There's an escalation and a chain of command that you follow by Scripture, a chain of command of authority that you follow in order to deal with problems. And you try not to over-escalate, right? Because if you over-escalate, what do? You put a person in a position where they have to defend themselves more than they would if it was just handled at the lowest level. You put them in a fight or flight position where now they're having to protect themselves. But even Paul knew about these authorities and knew about the authorities that were over him, even those that weren't within the church, right? Because when he was challenged in the book of Acts, where does he go? He said, I appeal to Caesar. He recognized he was a Roman citizen and he had the ability to go to appeal to the Roman authorities to seek some kind of justice. So when you read in Romans 13 about the authorities being placed in order, sometimes the authorities are not in proper order, but as God intended them, they're intended to be in order. That's why we get so mad about politics. We're not mad about politics because we don't want to be governed. We get mad about politics because we've despaired of good government. We see corruption. We see the authorities not rewarding the good and punishing the evil. We see the authorities rewarding evil and punishing the good. We see authorities that are upside down and out of order and unjust and out of the direction and intention of what God has created. But what is the order that God has created? What is the order that God has created for us as Christians? How are we to live despite the fact that the world out there is in utter chaos and is out of order? And that everything that drives us nuts and makes us cry out to God and say, God, bring justice. Bring your punishment on the wicked because we need justice. But nevertheless, what does he say to us? In Romans 13, there's even an order for us. Because what does it say? Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. So how do we fulfill the law? We love one another. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Think about that. The disorder in this world, the brokenness, to use a popular term, the toxicity in this world, all of the things that are wrong in this world are a result of our inability to love our neighbor as ourselves. Why would we commit adultery if we ourselves would not want our spouse to be cheating on us? Why would we commit murder if we ourselves value our lives? Why would we take property that belongs to another person and take it for ourselves? That's disorder. That's brokenness. That's wrong. And the cure for that is love your neighbor as yourself. Do not do to them what you would not want done to you. And in fact, Jesus takes it up a notch elsewhere. He says, a new commandment I give you. Not just love your neighbor as yourself, but since we're so broken and we don't always love ourselves all that much, don't just love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another as what? As I have loved you. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her. Love one another. How do we bring order into chaos? It is through the power and the action of love. That is all that we can do. And love does, in fact, hold us together. It holds our families together. It holds the church together. It makes us something great in the midst of chaos. So when we read Psalm 104, we read this ascription of praise to God because what we're seeing is the intentionality of God in bringing order to the world. And at the end, we see this turn. At verse 31, Actually, back up a little bit. Sorry for your time. Speaking of the animals and all that have been provided their food from God, it says, these all look to you to give them their food in due season. And when you give it to them, they gather it up. When you have what you need, that you gather it up, right? When you open your hand, when God opens his hand, they are filled with good things. But when you hide your face, those seasons when it doesn't seem like God is there or things are being provided, that's when we feel the sense of disorder. That's when we feel the sense of things being broken. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die. But when you and return to their dust, but when you send forth your spirit, they are created. And you renew the face of the ground. This is a promise. God is not just giving order once and leaving it for us to mess it up. He is also restoring through Christ, through his Holy Spirit, restoring order. So finally, the psalmist writes, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. Here we're back to praise, back to joy, back to celebrating the joy that is in this order. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they will smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I am my being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth. Where did that come from? All this joy, all this celebration of the order, and yet the last word here, almost the last word, is let sinners be consumed from the earth and let the wicked be no more. Here we have what Peter Chase challenged us with a couple weeks ago. Here we have the human being crying out for justice, saying, let sin be removed that order might be restored. Let justice come that it might be restored. In us, how does justice come? Justice either comes by, if we are wicked, punishment, or if by God's grace we find that the punishment for our sins was not taken on by ourselves, that we're not suffering the due just penalty for our sins, but instead we look to the cross and see that the penalty we deserved, the suffering we deserve for our sins, for our wickedness, was not taken on by us, but it happened to Christ on the cross. It happened to him for us, so that we can see the benefits of that order restored. So let sinners be consumed from the earth, either by justice, or as we would hope for ourselves and for our neighbors, by his mercy demonstrated on the cross. For there's two ways that a sinner is consumed. A sinner is either consumed by damnation, by loss, by hell, or a sinner is consumed by having that sin taken away and being transformed from a sinner to saint. Which are we? If we are in Christ, we are not consumed by hell and damnation. We are consumed by the love of Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, transforming us, bringing about a transformation from sinner to saint. In that we can say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a psalm like this to remind us of the order you created, to remind us that you intended that the world have all that we need for life, for enduring and for enjoying the pursuit of happiness and the pursuit of you. We thank you, Lord, that even when we see chaos and disorder in the world, we also see your intention of order and your provision of order. Lord, we thank you for the temporary provision of order that is provided in this world by authorities and by good teaching of your word. And we pray for those in authority that their power would not be used to further chaos, but instead to bring godly order. We pray that where we have the talents, Lord, that you might use us in whatever level of authority we are given, whether it be in the leadership of mentoring one other person around us or in teaching our families, or if our authority exceeds to greater places, that you would use us to bring godly order, and that you would teach us to do so in love, that we might demonstrate your order in the world. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, that you have created this order and that you intend to restore it on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.